Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there to Atlanta, Georgia, to Blog Talk Radio. Pastor Oliver is the pastor, and he's my host on Watchman on the Wall. And I got another pastor over there in Dallas, Texas, somewhere on the other side of Dallas, Texas. I haven't really picked up the name real frequently, but that's probably, amen, Elder Timothy Jackson, gospel preacher. I've been preaching for 22 years, the word of God, straight from the word of God, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Nothing but the Holy Ghost. If there ain't no Holy Ghost there, there's not no anointing. And you need the anointing to preach the gospel. You can't just get up and start preaching and think you called by the Lord. God got to anoint you. God got to appoint you. God got to put you in a position where you can be strong in the Lord and preach the unadulterated word of God. Make no difference what the consequences may come out to be. Preach it in season, out of season. Preach it when you don't like it. Preach it when you like it. Preach it in your sleep. Good God Almighty, I've done that. Amen. I've slept some nights and wake up in the morning and dreamed I was preaching. Woo! This gospel is powerful. Amen. Preaching for what? Preaching for soul salvation. Delivering people from sin, hell, and the grave. And I'm not preaching for money. He's not preaching for money. I'm not preaching for fame or glory or to put my name in neon lights and celebrate how long I've been preaching. I'm not looking for no celebration. The celebration is when I get the glory, where the Lord will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Oh, good God Almighty. So glad to have Brother Tim with me. Amen. I'm going to say a few words, and I want Brother Tim to give us offering prayer, and I want him to start it off. The first half an hour, whatever, I'm going to say a few things. What we're going to be hitting on, we're going to be hitting on every idol that the world has tried to offer men, women, boys, and girls, amen, right, to serve. And that is heathenism. Heathenism is worldwide. There's more heathens on the planet right now than there are Christians. Amen. In order to not become, to stop being a heathen, you must be born again. And you say, well, what is a heathen? A heathen is a person that don't, listen to me what I'm saying, don't know God. If you don't know God, you're a heathen. Amen. Israel is not a heathen nation. Israel was introduced to God Almighty through Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot the 12 tribes. And when those 12 tribes were brought forth, they knew who their God was, but they hadn't been introduced to them until Moses came. When Moses came, Moses introduced Israel to the great I Am. When they was introduced to the great I Am at Mount Sinai, they were no longer considered a heathen nation because they knew, good God Almighty, they knew the true living God. They was with him. The laws was given to him. The tabernacle was instructed in the desert because God was going to show them how to offer blood sacrifices on the altar with animals and bullocks to give you a typical type and shadow of the great sacrifice. But they had to use 3,000 years of Jewish history. They offered up animals and turtle doves and bullocks and goats, because that was the only nation that God instituted to represent him. And by Israel representing him, Israel failed. When Israel failed, that God said, because you have failed me, I'm going to let you be punished. And Israel have been punished ever since 606 B.C. when they were taken to the Babylonian captivity for 7 years, and they were released. And yet still they were released. Amen. They still suffered, because they were scattered all over the face of the earth for their disobedience. Amen. And God chastised them to show anybody, Anybody that's serving the living God has to take recompense. They got to pay for it. And Israel paid for their disobedience. And it goes same for the Gentiles today. The Gentiles have been introduced to who? Introduced to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the very God of Abraham, the very God of Jacob, the very God of Isaiah, Jeremiah. And guess what? The Gentile nations have not received Christ like they were supposed to. And the Gentile nation now get rid of what? They want to get rid of Israel because they are the only ones that know about the true God. And so the devil, the devil knows God chose Israel. The devil knows that Israel was the only nation that Jesus Christ came to. And the devil knows that that nation knows the true God. And that devil knows that at the final close of history, the final close of human history, the whole world is going to meet the great Messiah at the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to meet the man that they rejected for over 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years, guess what? It's almost up. Well, you say, well, preacher, what you talking about? I'm talking about 2022 to 2029. 2029 is the last day or the last month of the last generation. It'll be 80 years, one generation. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, when he was here on earth, he said, this generation shall not pass away. This generation is not going to be eliminated until the 80 years are fulfilled. The 80 years will be fulfilled in 2029. 80 years, Israel has been a nation, and they are restored back into the land. And now they're back into the land. And since they're back into the land, they're waiting for the Messiah, but not the right one. Because there's a false Messiah coming. Let me tell you that. I know Jesus is coming. But before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, the false Messiah must arrive on the planet. The false Messiah now is on the planet. He's born in 1968. And when he was born, he became the king of Spain in 2014 when his father, Juan Carlos, gave up his throne to give to his son. And this is the only good God Almighty from heaven. I know it's the truth. He said, and this man will be a king. And this man is in Spain right now, and his name is King Felipe, the king of Spain, who is the Antichrist. And he's waiting, what? He's waiting for one great event. Now, I know some folks don't believe this. Some people want to throw this in the trash can. Some people want to deny it. Even preachers and theologians and philosophers, and all these men are trying to deny that what's getting ready to happen on this planet, they don't want to face it, but it's going to happen anyway. Because God said, Brother Bazard ain't got nothing to do with what God said until I put it applied to my soul and my heart. And I'm telling you right now, the rapture of the church is on us. It ain't far away. And people today think it's a distance away, but it's on us so quick, it's going to come up on us so fast that it's going to shock the corridors of hell. Woo! When the rapture and the trumpets blow and the dead in Christ will rise and we that remain alive shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we be with the Lord. It's going to be the highest or heart attack generation that people are going to fall out and actually die. Folks going to have heart attacks. Preachers going to have heart attacks. Folks going to go mad and realize that the word of God is true. The word of God is real. The word of God is unique. The word of God is genuine. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. But before he comes back, to the earth, there's a seven-year tribulation that must occur. And this seven-year tribulation will be started after the rapture of the church, and the Antichrist will come, because the world is looking for a Superman. The world is looking for a superhero. The world is looking for somebody that will bring us, try to bring us out of this sin and degradation and this hatred and this lying and this cheating and this backbiting and this half going to church half-hearted. But God's going to be a wake-up call. And majority of the world, listen to what I'm saying now, majority of the world will be left on this earth. I'll say it again. Majority.
Amen. That's right, Doctor.
Will be left here on earth, because there are only a few, Jesus Christ, a few will make it in. Broad is the way that leadeth in destruction. And many folks are going there, thereat. And the world is saying, oh, you know something? And I'm going to get a little vulgar, because I got to. I got to let the devil know where he's standing. The world today has been influenced by the devil, and the devil is saying to the world and to Jesus Christ and to his sacrifice, the hell with it. I ain't worried about that. I'm going to have my party. I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to get married. I'm going to build me a house. I'm going to, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to go to a big banquet. It's the house of God. We're going to have a party. We're going to dress up and look sharp, as good as the board of health. And we just going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Well, let me tell you, a lot of people think because they got a whole lot, it comes from the Lord. But the devil can bless you too. Oh, come on, y'all.
Right.
Don't blame it on God. What God want to bless you with, and that's what we're going to talk about. What God want to bless you with, he want to bless you with salvation. But the world says, I don't want it. And that's the ultimate blessing that God gave my soul. He blessed my soul by saving my soul. He blessed Brother Timothy Jackson by saving his soul. You know why? Because the soul that sinned, it shall die. And that means the soul that dies, a person that dies in his sin, will be separated from God forever. That soul is dead. That's what that means. Right. That don't mean that your soul is going to die, like separate from your body, and your body is dead. That means that your soul will be separated from God Almighty forever. And if you're separated from God forever, the only place you can go, you can't go to Walmart. You can't go down there at JCPenney's. You can't go to Kmart. Those stores going to be closed. You can't go. I told you to go to Timbuktu. You ain't going to be able to go to Timbuktu, because the Bible said it is appointed once for man to die. And after that, you're going to the judgment. There's a judgment coming. There's a time in which Christ will rapture the church. And the seven-year tribulation on earth will be judged. It will be judged by who? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to let the world know that y'all don't pick the wrong Jesus. Jesus Christ is not just a man. He is God in man. He is God in the flesh. He's the great I am from the I ams of the I am. He's no beginning. There is no end. Good God Almighty. This is getting hot. This is getting hot. And I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to have prayer. I'm going to have prayer. And then after I do have prayer, I'm going to turn it over to my brothers, my brother Jackson. He's going to warm it up a little hotter. He's going to turn the heat up. Amen. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We thank you for this opportunity to give us this opportunity to spread the gospel over these networks and down through the channels of whether it's Instagram, whatever it is, if it's YouTube or whatever, we can get in. Amen. And tell the world, you better prepare to meet the Jesus Christ. Let us warn the pastors and the overseers and the young folks and the old folks and the crippled folks and the blind folks and those that's in wherever they may be, Lord, that they can hear a word of the Lord. Because I think it was Hosea said that, he said there's going to be a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God. And everything that you hear people preaching is not the word of God. It's going to be rad, because a lot of people are turning their ears away from the truth because they believe in God. We just ask you right now that we can pick penetrate men, boys and girls, the blind, the overseers, the old, that's insane. We ask you, Lord, let your blood of Jesus Christ saturate their spirit and their soul, that they'll turn from their wicked way so they can be saved from a devil's hell. In Jesus' name, I could say amen, amen, amen. Brother, walk with it.
Amen, brother, amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray, amen, for humble spirits. Amen. We just pray that your word go forth. Amen. That salvation may be received. Amen. Brother, it was a joy to hear your testimony. Amen. That a soul got saved today. The Bible says
yes,
that
sir.
All of heaven rejoice after a sinner repents. Amen. All of heaven rejoice, not some of heaven. All of heaven rejoice.
All of heaven.
That's a good thing to hear. That is one less soul in hell.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Excuse me. This is one less soul, amen, in the lake of fire. Amen. We are so grateful for Christ, Yeshua, his ultimate sacrifice to save and to redeem our souls. Amen. Our ultimate goal is none other than to bring in as many souls into the kingdom of heaven as we possibly can. Amen. So what I'm going to do, amen, I'm going to kind of try to finish up some of the information that I was looking at over, yesterday from my notes. I want to go to Revelation, the third chapter, verse 3. And we have been discussing what we are to do now while we are waiting on the return of Christ. So what are we to do now? What is it that we need to be doing? Well, we need to be showing love.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I couldn't help but to think about this last night and yesterday after we got off the air. There's so many people in church, and I tell people all the time, the signature of a saint is love. That's how
come on, preacher.
Love. That's how
signature.
You realize if a person is saved. Amen. I'm talking about if he confesses with his mouth, believes in his heart, and he shows love, because what was Christ's commandment? What was his main two commandments? His main two commandments was love the Lord thy God with all thy mind.
Uh-huh.
Thy mind
yes.
is your mind, your body, and your spiritual soul. That's your might.
Yeah.
When you love God, in other words, what Christ was basically saying, love your God. Amen. It's called the Shema. Love the Lord thy God with all thy being.
Yeah.
We can love him with our mind, our body, and our body should get praise, our mouth. We should praise him with our tongue. Amen. We should thank him in
come
our
on.
Mind. Amen. We
come
should
on.
Work. Amen. Study the word. Share the word. Show love, okay? Love the Lord thy God with all thy might. And then he said the second commandment, amen, is as the first.
Yes.
He said, love
yes,
thy neighbor.
Neighbor,
amen. In other words, if you say you love God whom you've never seen, but you hate your brother here on earth, you will not go to heaven. You will not
nope.
be there. He said, love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. There are so many people in the church that are so religious. I've met them, and I continue to meet them, that claim they are Christians or whatever, have no more love than a dog walking across the street.
You're right, brother.
Amen.
You're
I'm
right.
just going to tell you the truth. No more love than
yeah,
a dog walking across the street. Amen. And that's just being real. I see it all the time. People are religious. People are self-centered. They only care about themselves. They don't care about nobody else. They only care about their own feelings. They can care less about you. They'll walk all over you and disrespect you, amen, but claim that they're a preacher or a pastor or that they're a
sinner
and ain't got no more love of God, amen, than that brick sitting up in that brick sitting up in the yard somewhere. Let's just be real, amen. But we gonna say that we love God, amen. We said we love. We got to obey God's commandments,
that's
amen.
Right.
He said that if you love God, he said that you will keep His commandments.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says. But you got so-called saints. I'm gonna call them so-called saints. So-called churchgoers claim they love God so much, claim and tell you. If a person don't show love, he can say, I don't care what he say. I don't care what his title is. They don't have salvation. In my book,
they don't have salvation.
They don't have salvation. That's what the scripture says. Because you got to love. That's what the scriptures say. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I got to go along with the Bible. Amen. I have to go along with what the good book says. If you don't love your neighbor, then you can't possibly love God.
Come on.
But these folks parading around and going to church, son, getting up in the pulpit. Man, I've seen some hateful people who claim themselves to be pastors. I've seen some hateful people. I've seen some, brother, I've seen some people up in the pulpit, there, stand up in the pulpit and say some hateful things. I'm just like, Lord, have mercy.
Mercy.
Man, I couldn't be a part of this church. Amen. Couldn't have been me. I said, where's the love? There ain't no excuse. I'm not going to make no excuse for nobody that calls himself a man of God. Because if I know better to get up in the pulpit and to say something about people's personal lives, say something about people, to berate them and be, I'm talking about in front of a congregation of people. Just lost my membership. If you ever berate me, you just lost my membership. You just lost my faithfulness to you because that makes no sense. I've had it happen to me before. Amen. A long time ago when I first got saved, I straight left that church. I said, it makes no sense for a so-called man of God to stand up in the pulpit and try to berate people or to say something negative to people. What are you trying to prove? But you got so many people that are self-centered. They selfish. They only think about themselves. They're trying to elevate themselves. God ain't in that. That's selfish.
No, he ain't.
That's hateful. And I promise you that God and the Holy Spirit is not interested in that. Amen. And you getting up, pumping up yourself in the pulpit and actually berating. I've actually seen in the church people will say stuff. I'm like, man, that show was low down. I've had it happen to my dad, brother. While he was at his church, I had another pastor in the background. He was saying some negative stuff. I was young at the time, and I almost jumped up and said something. I said, you know what? I'm going to sit down and just let my dad take care of it.
All right.
That type of stuff happen. Amen. But sad to see it happen in the church. Amen. But anyway, let's go to Revelation, the 3:3. Let's think about sometimes I go off of my soapbox, but I'm sharing stuff with you because it's sad that people will, year in and year out, attend churches and will just continue to go and sit up under that mess. I've seen it happen to family members. Some family members have got up and left. I had a family member, same thing happened. She got up and left. But her daughter stayed at the church, but she got up and left. And the pastor just up there just berating you? I don't understand it. But these are so-called men of God. Then you ought to know better than how to act. See, I got to jump up and down with people that's in the leadership of the church because there's so much false doctrine, so much false teaching, so many false prophets, and people just were set up under that mess for years. I'm like, why do y'all even bother to go to a church like that where the man that's calling himself a man of God ain't showing no love? Then you wonder why the congregation is hateful. Then you wonder why the devil is running rampant. Through the congregation. Amen, doctor. I got to say, you just wonder why the devil just running rampant through the congregation.
Yeah.
It's because of foolishness like that. And people dare sit up under a person like that. Well, there's my pastor. Well, you go find another pastor. Amen. You ain't got to sit up under that nonsense. Let's just keep it real. Revelation, brother. Amen. The church of Sardis. Revelation 3:3. Watch what it says. It says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Amen?
All right.
This is the type of life that we are supposed to live as the children of God. We are supposed to live a life to where we are, one, watching for Christ. Amen. We're supposed to live a life of love, love God, love one another, show love, share love. Amen. I tell my wife, I can't be in a church if people can't show love. I can't be in a cold church. Amen. I don't like being cold no way. Amen. But I don't like being cold, so I can't be in a cold church, guy. Got to be warm in the church. Got to be some love. Got to be some warmth. Amen. I have to feel the love. And that's how I am as a person. If I don't feel the love, I won't be around people. I don't. I just refuse to sit up around people who are cold-hearted, who are cruel, who are mean. God ain't appointed you to death. He's appointed you to life. Why would you set yourself and subject your soul and your mind, your body, and your soul to nonsense. I've not ever been around people who've been negative and ugly to me. I'll get away from around them in a heartbeat. Because God ain't called me to that. Oh, we supposed to love people. Well, I love you. But if you ain't going to show me no love back, I ain't going to keep being around you. Now, God give you common sense, too. Amen. But I have to speak, amen. But I have to speak on this scripture. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief. Christ is talking about amen. He's talking about your salvation. And if you are just sitting in church, amen, you're not doing anything, and you just there. He said, I will come upon you as a thief. And that's
thief
in the church today. Amen. A thief in the night. That's right, brother. They just attend. They just religious as it can be.
Whew.
No salvation. Amen. No
salvation.
No salvation in the church. Folks have been going to church. I've been seeing it. It's a shock to me. I said, man, and then the folks have the nerve to come in here. I said, man, I won't be around it. I tell family members, I'll be y'all going over there. I won't be there. But you going over there, I don't stop. If that's where you want to be, you go right ahead. But I'll have nothing to do, amen, with ignorance. Because it makes
come
it
on.
For us to have the – brother, am I telling the truth?
You're telling the truth.
I'm telling the truth.
Nothing
if you got the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost living in you. See, the Holy Ghost – I read a scripture that the brother shared with me yesterday. I read a scripture, amen, that God will keep you from evil. He'll keep you from evil.
Your
choice to run to it. But he gives you free will choice. If you want to keep running back to the nonsense, ain't nothing God could do. He got ways to keep you from it. He gives you a way out. I ain't going to keep running to no nonsense. Amen.
Amen.
So repent. What am I saying? Repent. You're going to church, you're religious, you don't have salvation, you're just going there to the church because maybe you was born and that's the church you was going to since you was a child. Your parents went to the church, maybe, I don't know, relatives at the church. Amen. But there's got to be love. Amen. There's got to be repentance in the church. Amen. Now, I know that everybody go to church ain't going to be saved, but I'm just saying, if you got 10 members, amen. You know, I would think at that rate, you possibly should be able to get majority of them saved. If you have 100,
come
members,
on,
you're preaching the word. You're
come
teaching
on.
The word. Amen. They've been there for 20 years. My gosh. Amen. I'd say most of them should be saved. Amen. But we know how people are. We know that most people, amen, going to do what they want to do. But we have to do as we are called to do as a men and women of God. We must preach the truth. Amen. Amen. So I want to share that with you, Revelation, the third chapter, verse 3. Amen. He said, remember therefore how thou hast heard, received and heard. Received what? Heard what? God's word. The preaching and teaching of the rightly divided word. Amen. The Bible says, hold fast and repent. We should always try to do better as the children of God. We should not look to go backwards, but to look to go forward. Amen. We want to do what's best. Amen. For ourselves and for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to read one more scripture. I'm going to give it back to the brother. Amen. We're going to talk about these scriptures today. Amen. Then we're going to get more. Amen. I want to revert back to, I know you're talking about the rapture, the gathering together, which we believe is soon to happen. Amen. But it seems to be a conversation that's eluding the majority in the so-called body of Christ. Nobody is talking about, because they're afraid that, well, what if you're wrong? Well, here's the thing. Let me put this disclaimer out here before I read the scripture. No one is guaranteeing or saying we know for a fact when Christ is coming back. We didn't say that. We never said that. We say we believe. Based off of the information that we studied, we read for years, the times and the seasons that Paul talked about, Christ always told us to watch. I just showed you another verse in the Bible, just like yesterday. I just showed you another verse today where he said watch. We are supposed to watch. And we believe, based on our study, our research, the things that are going on in the world, that Christ could come back and rapture the church any time between now and later on this year up until October.
Yes, sir.
That's what we believe.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's what we're seeing so much unfold before our God is sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of folks. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm so sick and tired of folks talking about they this and they that and they lying. And when they out and about, they just as ugly as could be. I said, man, ain't that the sister at the church? Ain't that the supposed to be the pastor over there? And this is how they act. I just like to keep it real. Amen. First John, I'm gonna turn back over to the brother. Let me read this real quick. Let me read this. First John, I'm sorry, I went over my time. First John.
Go ahead. You all right?
Amen. Right. All glory be to the Most High. First John, the third chapter. You know I like John. I know I like the books of the letters of John. Hey, First John, there we go. First John, the third chapter. And we're going to read verses 2 through 3. Now, we're talking about what you're supposed to do while we are waiting on Christ. Love the Lord thy God with all thy might. Love thy neighbors. I love thyself. That's what we are to be doing. And I'm giving you scriptures to break down how we can do so at this very hour. We should be practicing receiving rewards in heaven. That's what I've been doing. I don't know what nobody else has been doing. I'm stacking up rewards in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this God here is going to be soon to pass away. It is soon to pass away. But I want to receive. So when Christ raptures us up, gathers us all together, and he takes us back, we're going to be there at the Bema seat. Amen. You want to receive as many spiritual rewards as you possibly can. Amen. First John,
Amen.
Third chapter, verses 2 and 3. I got it marked in my Bible. Verse 2 is a favorite
ahead,
verse. Watch this.
It says,
beloved, who is the writer talking to? He's talking to the saints. Anytime you see this type of language, he's talking about to the children of God. He's not talking to those out there in the world. Amen. My dad used to call them in the world heathens. He ain't talking to the heathens. He talked to the church, those who have actually believed Christ, who have confessed with their mouth and believe in their heart. They're walking around showing love. Amen. When people are ugly to them, amen, they deal with it. They walk away as the bigger man or woman and say, you know what, I'm going to let God fight my battles. Amen. Because that's how I have to live. I have to remind myself that, hey, you know, God's going to fight my battles. God's going to take care of that person. If I pray, because I remember the Bible said, touch not my anointing and do what? Do my prophet no harm.
No harm.
That's a real scripture. You can play with God's children if you want to, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be what you want. It ain't going to be
what you want
in your life. Playing, especially when you go mess with God's his ministers. Now, I'm not saying that we're higher than everybody else, but I'm just saying, amen, you better be careful. The Bible said, touch not my anointing and do what? My prophet no harm. There's a reason that that's in the Bible, because you go to mess with God's messengers, it ain't going to be nice for you, amen. And you get to wonder why something bad can happen to you, amen. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall
be.
Amen. But we know
that
when he shall appear,
who is he?
Christ our Savior. Amen.
Yes,
Yahshua, Jesus. Amen. Our Lord and Savior. Amen. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is.
Yes.
And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. Amen.
Yes.
We have to purify ourselves. Amen. We don't stop at salvation. We don't stop at the fact that God has delivered our soul eternal death. Yeah, we know we're getting in. Now it's time we purify ourselves. This is going to count in the eternities, how you walk, how you talk, how you act. You're going to get blessed for all eternity for the work that
you
do in this life. Amen.
Thank you,
Heavenly Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy.
Who
don't want to receive, amen, a mansion? Amen, that you're going to get to enjoy for all eternity. Amen. Silver and gold, whatever it is that God has for you as reward. Paul said, eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love him. That's what I want. I want my spiritual rewards. Amen. I'll come back to it in a little bit. I'll turn it back over to the brother, but I have to share that.
Amen.
This is what we are to be doing because we're going to be just like Christ. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to live for all eternity. He's going to raise us from the dead. If you become deceased, he's going to raise you from the dead. If you're alive and still remain, you're going to have a glorified body. And you're going to receive spiritual reward, spiritual gifts. And we shall see him as he is. Amen. And that's going to be revealed to us in time. A lot of things is not revealed to us. But at the time it's going to happen, a whole lot of things are going to be revealed to us. Go ahead, doctor. Go ahead.
All right. Amen. This is what's going on the wall. This is end time. End time.
Amen.
What you talking about end time? Well, end time means the end of man's period of being on this earth.
Come on,
sin.
Doctor.
End
Come on.
Of sin. End of evil and iniquity and the end of Satan being the god of this age. And you notice 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4:4, Satan is the god of this age, meaning that he's the god of a period of 6,000 years. He's been the god of this earth. He has tried
Amen.
To run this earth. And God has given man a choice to choose who he wants to serve. One thing about God, God give you a choice
right.
to live. If you want to live for the devil, that's your choice. If you want to
that's
live
right.
in sin, that's your choice. If you want to live in righteousness and purity of the heart and sanctification and justification and joy and peace and eternal life, you have a privilege to make that choice. And man
right.
today, the main reason why man is in the condition he's in, majority of the world is taking the role to hell. Satan is leading folks to
right.
hell because that's what they chose. If you choose to run your own life without God, if you choose to do what you want to do without God, if you lie, cheat, steal, that's not of God. So you're doing it without God because God don't lie, God don't cheat, God don't kill. Oh, yeah, he can slay you if you disobedient, but he don't go out on the street with a gun shooting folks. Jesus
Come
Christ
on,
never raped nobody. Y'all cool. Y'all don't hear me.
Come
this
on,
is what I'm
God.
Saying. These people blaming this stuff of what's happening on God. You can't blame that on God. He said,
That's
choose
right.
you this day in whom you're going to serve. And majority of the world is saying, I'm serving God, and yet still they're up in the church. They're serving the devil because the stuff they do, the stuff they say, the stuff they carry on with, the conniving, sneaky, secret sins that's committed up in the pulpit, behind the pulpit, underneath
Come
the pulpit,
on,
in the choir, down in the basement. Good God Almighty. People are choosing the way they want to live. And if you choose to live without Christ in this life, and you die, I didn't say it. I said, if you die without Jesus Christ because you made the wrong choice, you're going to bust hell wide open. And nobody
right.
will be able to deliver you out. Because when you die, you cannot, you won't, if you die without Jesus Christ, it's like you getting in a car wreck. And the minute you get in a car wreck, you run down the insurance office and tell them, say, I want some, give me some quick insurance, man. I just had an accident. And you try to get insurance after you don't have the wreck. You up the creek, buddy. You up
That's
the
right.
creek because
That's
when
right.
the insurance company checks and see how long you had your insurance and you just said,
mm-hmm.
I just got it after I had a wreck. Guess what? That policy don't mean nothing.
That's right.
And people today are walking around, sinner and ain'ts, church folks walking around without Christ. Confessing that they know Christ and don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, just like the brother said. If a man say he love God, if a man say he love God and hate his brother, he's a liar
Come on,
and the
doctor.
Truth. And there's no such thing in the Bible where it says, I like you. I like you. And if I like you, I can get into glory. No, it ain't no like in that. He said, we will be like him. In other words, and we shall see him in his glory if you know him. But if you don't know him, you won't see him in glory. And the world today is trying to pimp God. Uh-oh.
That's right.
What, you bad word? No. People are trying to pimp God. They're trying to tell God what to do. And if you don't do this,
right,
Lord, I ain't love you like I used to. If you don't do this for me, Lord, and bless me and give me what I want, I ain't gonna even serve you. But you think God's gonna cry over that? No, he ain't gonna cry over that. You think he gonna worry about that? No, because you gonna need God before God needs you. And in fact, he don't need me. I need God. I need God. God don't need me. If I die tomorrow, put my body in the grave, the sun is not going to go out. The newspaper is not going to stop writing. There ain't nobody going to bow their head and lower the flag. Come on now. What you think is so important? God needs you. God don't need you. And if he, I know if he don't need you, he don't need me that much. Amen. But
that's,
I thank
right,
God for his
man.
Love.
Right.
He loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. He said, whosoever will, let him come on, man. Come on, what you got? Give me your soul. Give me your spirit. Give me your mind. Give me your time. Give me what you got. Give me what you can give me. And what you can give God, you can give him your soul. But the devil don't want you to give your soul to Jesus Christ, because he never but a crybaby when he loses a soul. When he loses a soul, he gets mad. He gets mad because he knows what he is missing, and he don't want you to have no part of what he has been dethroned from the thrones of God. He has been degraded. He has been put as a serpent eating the dust of the ground. He no longer can be anything good for God, because God said, I'm going to cast you into the bottomless pit. I'm going to let
right.
you stay there for 1,000 years. I'm going to let you check yourself out and let you know you're from the bottomless pit. You're headed for hell. You're headed for Gehenna. And Gehenna is a lake of fire which burns with brimstone and fire, that's prepared for the devil and his angel, not for the human race. God don't want the human race to go to hell. That's why he came and died. He didn't die for the devil. He didn't die for his imps. He didn't die for the Nephilim. He didn't die for the satyrs. He didn't die for no wicked individual. According to Satan's demonic demons, he died for the human race. And the human race has an opportunity to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. It's not just something that you just thought up and talking about, well, I got the Holy Ghost. No, you don't. The Holy Ghost ought to have you. Because if the Holy Ghost got you, let me tell you, you're going to live a right life. You're going to live a holy life. You're going to live a sanctified life. You're going to be have the love of God in your heart, and you're willing to help anybody that needs help to show them the way to Jesus Christ. Because if you're not showing anybody towards Jesus Christ, you ain't got nothing. Come on.
Man.
You ain't got nothing if you can't share the love of God through Jesus Christ, or what the Lord done for you in your life. And tell somebody out there that's a drunkard, that's a liar, that's a cheapskate. You can't tell nobody, look, man, you don't have to live like that. Why don't you let Jesus Christ come into your life and save your soul? If you can't give a witness to nobody or a testimony to nobody, what do you got? Good God Almighty. Woo! I would advise you, if you win $1 million, to go out on the street and say, hey, I won $1 million. I got $1 million. You know what'll happen? Everybody be coming to you. But let me tell you, you go out on the street, Jesus Christ died for my sin. He saved my soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know them folks will run from you? They'll run from you. Man, I don't want that. But if you got something as such as eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ, that means you will never die. Spiritual death is no longer in your category. You will live forever in what? Joy, peace, love, serene. Everlasting love. You talking about love? Woo! I'm in love with Jesus. He's my love of my soul. He's the love of every being I got. Without Jesus Christ in my life, now I'm telling you what my testimony, without Jesus Christ in my life, I could be in a whole lot of different places. I could be in the same asylum. I could be in the ground. I could be down on the street corner. with my women pimping. I could be down in the gambling den, hey, wasting my money. I could be in adultery. I could be in fornication. I could be a old homosexual. I could be a old freak out.
Come on, corner.
Why? Because number one, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the devil will turn you into a Bolivian demonic human being that's filled with the devil. And that's what a lot of people got today. They deal with the devil. People in prison, people in the insane asylum, they got an evil spirit that captivated their soul. And the only thing that can set them free is the blood of Jesus Christ. No T.D. Jakes, no Billy Graham, nobody can set you free like Jesus Christ. And that's what men need to preach. They need to preach Jesus Christ and get off their self high horse and think they've done something. You ain't done nothing until you go out there and tell them folks, repent or likewise perish. Turn from your wicked ways. And I ain't never seen in the Old Testament where those prophets, amen, was welcomed by any nations or any family. Anytime a prophet would come and rebuke Israel, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to eliminate him. They wanted to do everything they did to get rid of him. Because if you preach the word of God, I'm talking about any preacher now, I'm talking about a preacher that's standing up for the word of God and rebuke all this homosexual, rebuke all this baby killing, rebuke everything that's not in the word of God, and the word of God said it is sin, and stand up for it, let me tell you, ain't nobody going to give you no what. They ain't going to give you no celebration. They're going to hang you. They're going to take you to jail. Why? Because you're going against the grain. Satan cannot stand. Can you hear me? Satan cannot stand Jesus Christ. He can't even bear to even say his name. And people today are saying his name and don't know nothing about it. They're going on a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. They got power to gab. They got power to talk about each other. They got power to lie. They got power to cheat. They got power to steal. They got all that kind of power, and that's no power, because the only power you can get to resist sin and turn away from sin is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the world is joining in and trying to take Christianity as a lukewarm religion. But thank God Christianity is not a religion. I told you before, Christianity is a relationship.
Amen.
A divine relationship with Jesus Christ. The minute you believe on his name and come to him and accept him and repent of your sin, and Christ comes into your spirit and your soul, you know God right then and there. You don't have to wait for 3 or 4 days to get the rest of it. You get it all at once through faith. Not by works, least any man should boast. And the working people who believe they can work the way they ever, but I feel sorry for you. You can work your fingers bone. You can work you can work until you look like work. That is not going to get you the goal. You can be the church janitor, you can be the church secretary, you can be the church child corrector, you can be the, oh man, you can be the church until your face look like the front door of the church. That don't mean you're going to heaven.
That's right.
Get that idea out of your head to think because you dress up and have your hat on and have your dress on and have your suit on, your three-piece suit with your diamond ring on and your hat tilted to the side, talking out the side of your mouth, because if you're not talking out of the word of God, you're talking out the side of your mouth, at the side of your neck, because you ain't got nothing to say without the word of God in it. If the word of God is not in it and you are not living what you profess, you ain't nothing but an old hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody that's got a limp soul. The soul is half and half. And the church of Laodicea, that last church age, is a hypocritical humanist, Gnostic church that has a form of godliness, because the Bible says, John looked at him and said, you are naked, you're wretched, you're poor, and you got two more blames that you have on you. You are fooling yourself.
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ in the of Laodicea is standing on the outside of the door of your heart, knocking, saying, let me come in and sup with you. Now, if Jesus Christ is so much in that church of Laodicea, why is he standing on the outside of the door, knocking? And folks are saying they church Christians or they're Christians, and Jesus Christ is knocking at their door. And he's telling them, repent, repent, turn, repent. And you telling yourself, I ain't repent. I ain't done nothing wrong. I ain't cheated.
Right.
I ain't did nothing. Oh, you might not have did none of that. But let me tell you something. You have denied the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you deny that and reject that and repulsive against the atonement of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're a stone sinner. And you're trying to play
right.
the hypocrite. And the Bible tells me there's no hope. Get this. There's no hope to a hypocrite. And a hypocrite is somebody pretending they know Jesus Christ and believe that they know Jesus Christ and don't know Jesus Christ. And to
That's
know
right.
Jesus Christ, your life is changed from night to daylight, from the groom darkness of sin to a night, to a morning star. And when Christ comes into your life, let me tell you something. You'll go around telling everybody, I love you. I love you. I just love brother and sister so-and-so. I just love that boy out there with that old wine bottle, and he looks like he can't even walk. I love that brother, and I'm going to go out there and tell him something about a new drink. A new drink, not Four Roses, not 30-30. Good God Almighty, not 67. Oh, Lord have mercy. Not old Jack Daniel. I'm talking about a new living water. Jesus Christ says, I'm a living water. I've got living water. I've got living water that if I come into you, I'll bubble up in your heart. I'll change your life. I'll give you something to go for. I'll give you something to live for. I'll give you something that you can help somebody else with, and that is to know who Jesus Christ is. That's the main duty of the church. The
That's
main
right.
duty of the church is the church is supposed to introduce Christ to the world. And the church is not doing it. They let the world come in and introducing the world to the church. And the church, folks who are weak, will accept what the world has to offer, but the world won't accept what the church has to offer. And if the church ain't got a whole lot of money and living lavishly, maybe they don't want it. But if you preach the word of God, they tell me it'll draw you or it'll drive you. And people
Come
are
on,
driven God. To it because they refuse to humble themselves. Man refused to humble himself before the mighty hand of God Almighty. They think they got a big chest out. They stuck this chest out. They stick their tongue out. They wag their heads. And they think they something. They think God is going to miss them if they miss heaven. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you go to hell, you're going to miss heaven. Woo! But if you go to heaven, you ain't going to miss hell. No.
That's right.
The ones that's going to miss heaven is those that go to hell. They're going to say, oh, I heard about heaven. But you heard about it when you was on top side of the earth. Now you wish you would have came on in and accept Jesus Christ. But you let the raw-headed, stupid, backbone devil trick you. Instead of going to the cross, you went to some lady's house. Instead of going to the cross, you went to the beer joint. Instead of going to the cross, you went down and gambled all your money away. Well, instead of you going to the cross and receiving salvation, you said, no, I don't want it. But in hell, I guarantee you, you'll lift up your eyes in hell and say, oh, merciful Father. Send somebody down here to give you a drink of water because everybody in hell gonna want water. Oh, yeah. It's going to be rough down there. It's going to be long down there. It's going to be
right.
a place where you're going to wish that you never was born.
Wow.
Now, that's bad. When you wish you never was born and you realize that you can't be reborn again and you can't reverse the birth, you're going to be there forever. Because one thing, you had a race hatred. You hated white folks. You hated black folks. You hated Chinese. You hated everybody. And yet still you want to set up in the house of God and talk about when we get to heaven. Woo! You ain't going nowhere. Say so. Jesus Christ said, except a man be what? Born again.
That's
Change.
Right.
Redeemed. Justified. Sanctified. Glorified. He cannot into the kingdom of God. You won't even see the gates. You won't even see the gold. You won't see nothing. Because your eyes can't bear, sinful eyes can't bear to look upon the brightness and the holiness of God.
That's right.
And men today got sinful eyes, they got a sinful mouth, they got a sinful attitude, and claim to know Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you're in some ways you don't blaspheme God, but not the blaspheme of the Holy Ghost, because you're claiming to be righteous, and yet still you living in filthiness. And you know something? Don't be like the rich man. Don't be like the rich man. And that's not a story. That's a fact, an account that Jesus Christ had. And Christ don't go around making up stories. And some people think that's a story, but that ain't no story. That's real life. That man died. That man went to hell. That man talked from hell. That man wanted water in hell. That man remembered everybody on top side of the earth before he died. And when he died, he knew where he came from, and he knew his brothers. And he told Abraham to tell Lazarus to go back and tell my five brothers, don't come down here. Listen to the prophets. Listen to the scripture. Read your Bible. Seek the Lord of your salvation. And guess what? I ain't getting no record of the five brothers. But I say by now, five brothers didn't make it. I don't know. I don't know if they did or not, because they didn't hear Lazarus come from hell. I mean, the rich man speak from hell and tell his brother. Or Abraham said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Ain't no way these five brothers going to believe me that I spoke to you from hell. And that he told me to tell y'all, don't come to this place. They ain't going to believe that. If they don't believe the prophets and the scriptures and the witnesses, how in the world they going to believe from a dead man speaking from hell? And I'm going to tell you, you are not going to believe that. So I don't know what happened to those five brothers. And guess what? If you leave this planet without salvation, you're going to be in hell. And I guarantee you from the world, and no money back. You can take it to the bank, and the bank will say, I can't help you. You can take it to the stock market. Stock market said, I can't help you. You can take it to the highest philosopher and theologian. You can take it to the highest rabbi. You can take it to the highest of the highest of the highest. But if you don't take it to Jesus, you're going to look in the bowels of the earth and see what hell looked like.
That's right.
And you will take five things with you, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. And the Lord led me to talk on that.
You did.
Because a lot of people don't believe it. They don't believe it. They don't believe it for nothing until the last minute. They'll wait till the last minute. And guess what? I don't like that last minute stuff. If I got to go to the bank and the bank got $1 million in the bank for me, I'm not going, and the bank 9 o'clock, I'm not going to go there 1 minute after nine. I'm going to be down there an hour early or a half hour early. And I'm going to wait till that bank door opens. And now we got an open opportunity. The world got an open opportunity to come to the Calvary Bank. Good God Almighty, Calvary Bank. And it's open 24/7. It's open every day. Every minute, every second. Ain't no opening time. The cross is open. It's been open for 2,000 years. And even in the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period, it's still going to be open. Oh, my God. It's going to be open when the Antichrist comes to this earth and claim himself to be Christ without any kind of salvation. You're going to have an opportunity for those that's left after the rapture that wasn't raptured up. They're going to have an opportunity to go to the bank and deposit their soul under the blood of Jesus Christ and receive eternal life by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast, and gone on to glory. But most folks Good God Almighty, most folks will wait. They will wait till it's too late.
Right.
And when it's too late, it's just too late. You can't blame nobody. If you go to hell, you can't blame nobody but yourself.
That's right.
You can't blame your mama, your daddy, your sister, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You can't blame it on drinking. You can't blame it on whoremongering. You can't blame it on nothing but yourself, because you refuse and dogmatically told Jesus to take the cross. And I'm going to get a little vulgar right now and tell Jesus to take that cross that he died for me on and shove it. And the world is saying it today in a figure of speech. Is that what they're saying? Shoot, when people mm-hmm. hear the gospel and they walk away from it and they throw up their nose, they're telling God to shove it.
That's right.
And God said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to impose on you. I'm sorry. Hey, Mr. Brown, I'm sorry. I won't bother you no more. Woo-hoo. And you better watch out. Many people have been offered salvation. They rejected it. They refused it. God
That's
has
right.
touched their heart and moved up on their heart time after time, year after year. And pretty soon, you don't feel that touch. You don't feel that yearning. Unless somebody's praying that God give you mercy. And then when you don't feel that touch and you don't have no desire to seek your soul of your salvation, guess what? And you die and pass away, an accident, an untimely death, and you lose out, ain't no hope for you. When you're
right.
dead, you're hopeless. You're hopeless. You're hopeless. You'll be crying beyond tears. Tears will be even trying to cry, and they won't be able to cry. What you talking about? Too late. Too late. And God's going to put everything before you. Your life is going to be eternally in hell brought before you. The times that you could accept Jesus Christ. And you said, look,
right.
I ain't got time. And Apostle Paul said, preaching of the cross to those that perish. You hear what he said? Those that perish. Those that are lost is foolishness to them.
Mm-hmm, that's
and
right.
That's what he's saying. It's foolishness to them. And Paul said again, I can't think of what book it is, but it's in there. I guarantee you. He said, watch out for those that weep. Weep a lot at the cross. He said, watch out for them. He said, because they're actually enemies of the cross. Because the devil has an emotion. He has an emotion about the cross. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all, the devil's a tricky sucker. He can cry. He can shout. He can speak in tongues. He can do fake miracles. He can call things like, you know, as they were not. He can do all that. He can flim-flam. He can say a beautiful word that entice your spirit to believe what he's
mm-hmm.
saying. He's got all kind of that unique stuff. And that's why he's the sleekest cherubim that God ever created. And he
mm-hmm.
still has that to know how to deceive people from accepting Jesus Christ.
That's right.
When I stand before God, you know what God's going to ask me? He know what he's going to ask you? He know what he's going to ask everybody? When you stand before even the great white throne, or you stand before the judgment of Jesus Christ, beam of seat. He's going to ask you, did you preach the cross? Did you preach my cross? Did you stand up for my cross?
That's
did
right.
you come to the cross? Because if you did come to the cross, you won't even be at the judgment seat of Bema. Because the Bema seat is made for the what? The born-again believers.
That's right.
The great white throne is going to be for all the wicked dead that rejected the cross.
That's
right. George E. Bazard is going before the judgment seat of Christ. And my works be laid out to the whole universe. Oh, come on, y'all. Good God Almighty, don't you know you're going to judgment? And my works will be manifested to every saint in the heaven.
That's right.
I ain't going to see my witness. They're going to see Brother Timothy Jackson's witness. For the little time that God has given us to preach the gospel, it's the whole universe is going to know about it. Did we do God's work? Did we preach the gospel? Did we live a holy life? Do we love God and love people? Are we willing to sacrifice our life for the cause of Christ to win souls to Christ? Are you willing to die for the cause of Christ? Woo, good God Almighty. And the world today, is church folks is chickening out. They're going in a little cubby hole. They're sitting in their little offices. They're having their little programs and little gram here and a little gram there. They're eating in church. They're having celebration in church. Good God Almighty, and when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord going to say, what did you do? Oh, Lord, we were down in the basement, honey. We were down there laughing and joking and having a good time. We had a good service, but nobody didn't get saved. Was anybody encouraged? Did you pray for anybody? Did anybody get healed? No. We just went there and said a little prayer, heard a sermon, ate and went home, went to sleep, watched TV, and went to bed and got up Monday morning. That's all we done. But you didn't show the love of Christ while you was here. Wake up, church.
That's right.
Wake up, church. Because when Christ comes to get the church, there ain't going to be no hanky-panky, and they ain't going to be in slow motion.
That's
it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. The graves are going to bust open like a keg of dynamite.
That's right.
If this old mortal body, this old decrepit body, then living, but I got to keep it holy. I got to keep it separated from stuff that can damage brains. I got to live holy. I got to eat the right foods. I got to get the proper rest. Amen. So my body can function. Hey, when I get up to preach the gospel, I got to keep my mouth shut and don't go in other people's business. I need to just live holy and acceptable before God. That when he get ready to use me, I could be effective to the souls of men. Don't blame nobody but if you miss heaven, and there's somebody today that's listening to this program, you've been in church for a good while, and you haven't been going. Amen. You may have a cigarette problem. You may have a temper problem. I'm talking about born again believing now, because born again is not perfect. And I'm letting you know I'm not a perfect man. I'm striving for perfection.
Amen.
I'm laying aside the made of sin. That's so easy to be set up. But there's somebody out there that really needs Jesus Christ. Quit trying to fool yourself. And you know what the scripture said. If you say you love God, you ought to love me. And keep it above the belt buckle. Oh, good God Almighty. And church folks are kids. They're scared to tell each other, I love you, sister. I love you, brother. They're scared to say that. Because when somebody listens in with a carnal mind, they take that other kind of love, that lust love, that desirable love. I'm talking about God's love. And God's love is completely different from man's love.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
The devil's trying to mix that up with God's love. No, that ain't God's love. That's you. That's your selfish self. That's your pleasurable self. Where in the book of Psalms, it says, second chapter of book of Psalms, it says, kiss the Son. Least he be angry. Now, how in the world can I kiss Jesus? How in the world can I kiss Jesus? I kiss Jesus. You know when I kiss Jesus? I kiss Jesus every day. I kiss Jesus when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen.
And when I kiss Jesus as my personal Savior, I got a thrill more high than the thrill on Blueberry Hill. I got a thrill that the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I got a thrill that earthly desires and earthly money and earthly prestige don't faze me one bit, because I'm having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Woo! That's deep, brother. That's deep.
Yes, it is, doctor.
The only way you can have a love affair with Jesus Christ, you've got to repent and turn from sin. So Jesus Christ can look in eternity. Go ahead, brother. Work with it.
Amen, doctor. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. To preach the gospel. Amen. For the word says, how beautiful the feet of those that teach the word and preach the word. Amen. Amen. It is a good thing, amen, to share Yahweh's word, because his word gives life. And not only life, but he says he gives life more abundantly. Amen.
Abundantly.
So, amen. That's what the scripture says. Amen. So you think about the abundant life. Amen. In other words, he wants to not only bless you just here while you're here, but eternally. That's what we strive for. Amen. You're going to enjoy some things here. Amen. You're going to enjoy some things here. Amen. And like the brother said, amen, we are born of God. Amen. We are born of God. We are new creatures. We're not the same. Amen. So let me read, Third John, the first third chapter, verse 6. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Amen. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Watch what it says. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Amen. It's as I was saying, and just like the brother was saying, amen. You know the fruit, the tree by the what? The fruit that it bears. Amen. That's just all it is to it. You can't sit there and tell me nobody's acting ugly and mean and spiteful and just ugly that got salvation. You can't feed me on that. Amen. You can't tell me that nonsense. Amen. It said, he that do righteousness is righteous. Now, you see some folks being all low down and crooked and stealing and lying and cheating. Man, I've known for, I'm telling you, man, I've seen in my life, amen, I've seen preachers. I know some, it reminds me of this one preacher that my dad was dealing with. My dad used to talk about how he would rip him off, how he'd be ripping people off for money. I'm saying, man, see, you got to understand, a lot of people are using titles. They just transition their life from when they was in the world. And when I mean transition, they're hiding behind the title. And they're doing crooked things. They're just using that title that they are a pastor or a man of God, but they're doing evil, wicked deeds. And the Bible talks about these types of people. Christ was mad at the money changers in the church. Excuse me, in the church. You know, hey, man, you know, you got so many people, and it's sad because you think, you know, people want to trust these people. People are looking for salvation, but these people are not out here to save people. So, amen, that's why the Bible says, try the spirits by the spirits. You're not to deal with anybody. That's why the Bible says that. Know who you're dealing with. Don't let these folks out here get you caught up.
Come on.
Amen. They're being evil and wicked and wicked and evil and all these different things. No. These people are evil. These people are up to no good. Amen. And you have to be careful. Amen. About, you know, dealing with these people. You have to be careful about, amen, subjecting your soul and your spirit. You know, your body, you can have wear and tear on you spiritually if you allow the wrong people to be in your life. Man, I just got to say it. I eliminate people. Man, if you ain't nothing but up to no good and just loading, I've always, even before I became saved, amen. I've always been the type of person that, man, I eliminate people quickly out of my life. If I know you ain't up to no good, man, get away from me. And because them people, type of people, can also drag you down. And you don't need that. You don't, as a child of God, you don't, some people like that. Some people don't deserve you in their life when you're a child of God. Let me just say it like that. They don't deserve you, and you don't deserve to be treated like that. Amen. You have to guard your spirit from certain people.
Come
amen.
On, preacher.
The scripture says, try the spirits by the spirit.
Try
I'm just going to jump over. And you know what's so funny about this, brother? I wasn't even aware after reading that. that if you just jump over to 1 John, the 4th chapter, what does the first three verses say? It says, beloved, talking to the saints,
beloved,
not the angels. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. In other words,
come on.
What the scripture is saying in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1, you ain't supposed to just believe everybody that's in church because they tell you they're a child of God, because they tell you they're a saint, because they tell you they believe in God, because they tell you they didn't confess with their mouth and believe. The devil can lie too. Amen. That's what that is. That is none of the devil lying to you, talking about they didn't confess with their mouth. Okay, watch this. It said, believe, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many, not
many.
A few, you can see what the scripture said. It didn't say a few churches. It didn't say had.
No.
It said many. In other words, most of the people out here, and I hate to say it, but this is the truth. Most of these preachers out here in the churches are up to no good because they have been deceived. They didn't let, that, like the brother said yesterday, money. The love of money is the root of all evil. The brother said that yesterday, the love of money is the root of all evil. So you got so many people out here that are just chasing money. They'll do anything to get it. Amen. I remember my friend told me he stopped going to this church because the pastor tried to tell him. He said, brother, I'm going to give you this $100. And what I want you to do, I want you to put this $100 on the plate. He said, man, I ain't doing that. He's leaving left. I don't blame him. See, sometimes you got to crack folks right to their face. When you see sin, you call it out. Don't play with it. Don't let it fail. When you know folks are doing wrong, I don't care what the title is, and they're supposed to be in the church, man, you leave them folks alone. He said, man, I wasn't about to do that. He said, he ain't going to have me caught up and God coming down on me for lying, have me up in the church lying to folks.
On.
I said, brother, you're right, brother. I don't blame you. But that's just the truth. Now, watch this. It said, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Man, we got so many false prophets out here at this day and time. It is insane. This is what
insane.
We have to do. It is insane, doctor. The stuff I see, I've been like, Lord, folks come to this church and pay their tithes for this entertainment. You basically paying to be entertained. That's what you basically doing. You paying to be entertained. If they ain't preaching love, salvation, and the return of Christ and the blood and the cross, man, I don't have nothing to do with it. If I come to your church 52 weeks out of the year and you ain't hardly talking about salvation and love and preaching the blood of Christ, the only time you want to preach about the blood of Christ is around Easter Sunday, man, something ain't right. That's the only time you preach the cross, something ain't right. The church is calling, nobody ain't showing no love, something ain't right. You ain't talking about saved eternally and talking about deliverance from my soul from eternal burning hell. Something ain't right, and I will not and cannot be a part of that nonsense. Let's just keep it real, because I'm not saying all preachers out there, but there's a lot of marriages just doing a bunch of nonsense. They read scriptures, and when they begin to preach, they ain't preach nothing about what they read. I'm like, now, what was the purpose? Man, that burns me up. I'll be like, what was the purpose of you reading them scriptures, and you talking about some stuff that's, I'm like, that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. I mean, some of the stuff you say that you read about should have something to do with what you read about. Amen. Watch what verse 2 says.
Amen.
That hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now watch this. This is important to understand. Amen. This is so important. I got these two verses marked, 2 and 3. 3 is a key verse, 2. But 2 just really spoke to my spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. It is possible for you to have, because I have the Holy Spirit, Elder Bazaar got the Holy Spirit, and I know that because when I talk to him, amen, there's a kindred spirit. The Spirit of God speaks to one another. Iron,
yes, sir.
Come on,
there you go.
Amen. Iron,
yes.
Sharpens
amen.
Iron. It says to know, in other words, you are supposed to know the person that you're talking to, got God on the inside.
Come on,
amen.
Preacher.
You
amen.
Supposed to know that just by talking to them and dealing with them. Amen. Because the way they talk, because they confess Christ, they talk about Christ, They show love. Brother, you have a wonderful day. God bless you, brother. Sister, you have a wonderful day. There's meekness in that spirit. We talked about meekness when I read 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 4. You have to be meek. I also share with you the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
These are examples that the Bible is in the book. It's in the Bible. This stuff ain't hidden from us. You read and study your Bible, you see it, you know what to look for. Hey, if you don't understand the Bible, I understand it. I'm still praying for you. But find you, like we've always said, find you a Bible teaching preacher, someone who can teach the Bible. Don't go to these churches.
Amen.
These folks are never giving motivational speeches. They're hollering and yelling.
Come
ain't,
on,
man, I'm, ain't no salvation being taught. Ain't no love being shown nowhere. Get out of those churches. Find you somebody who's going to teach you what the Bible says so that your spirit can be fed, so that you can grow spiritually, because that's what being fed spiritually does. It should grow you. You should mature you. You should know something about the Bible. You're not going to sit here and tell me the past 2.5 years that we should have been preaching this gospel and preaching this word that people ain't getting. If you've been listening to us consistently, if you've been listening to us for the last three to six months, you can't tell me you ain't had no spiritual growth. If you ain't had no spiritual growth, something is wrong with you. Because I can sit and say, I know my man be teaching. I know my brother be teaching. Because he knows his book. And I didn't talk to my brother off the phone. I'll call him throughout the week. Man, the brother, he shares stuff with me every week. Amen. He's a very knowledgeable man. And I got to say this again. It amazes me. I even told her, I said, man, you have got to be joking me. This man ain't got a church nowhere. This man ain't got hundreds and thousands of people following. This just blows my mind that people are going and listen to a motivational speech. See, people, the problem with people is they too soft. They want somebody to give them something to make them feel good. Oh, that made me feel good. They ain't got nothing to judge your spirit and what you do between Sunday to Sunday, and they enjoy that. They ain't got no conviction. So you can go out here and sleep with whatever and do whatever and be whatever during the week, and then you come back to church on Sunday and you hear a motivational speech. That's why folks ain't getting delivered.
Come on, preacher.
Because they sitting here teaching this stuff that, oh, you ain't, it's okay if you do this. And I see parents just letting their kids just date girls, date girls, boys, date boys. But you
come
going
on,
to church.
Preacher.
Man, y'all
come
gonna
on.
Make me hang up. Y'all gonna make me hang up.
Ooh,
I'm
no,
blessed for the stuff, the foolishness I see. You, if you're a pastor in church and you see these two girls sitting in the church, and you know they be all up on each other. You got these boys sitting there, they all up on. Man, the devil is a lie.
He's a
see,
lie.
That's why. That amen. He's a liar. Man, this is why there's so much hell. Or this is why I believe that Christ has got to come. God is tired.
Come on.
Sit down. When we allow somebody to get up in the pool, talking about she gay, he get up in the pulpit, talking about he gay, and you got folks following that nonsense, man, that bothers my spirit. I ain't telling nobody they getting money. That ain't going to amount to nothing when you die. I can care less about how much money they make, because only what you do for Christ will last. I don't care nothing about that. Ain't nobody jealous. Ain't nobody hating. I'm going to tell you that right now. No, what I don't like is people being misled and misrepresenting our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, and the Father that sits up on the throne. That's what you the misrepresentation. Man, I remember one time we went to a church in the suburbs of Dallas one time. I ain't going to say the city because y'all may know the pastor. Man, we went there to this church. Man, I'm talking about a gay man in a dress run up and down the church like he had the Holy Ghost. I told my wife, we leaving. Oh, we ain't come back. We ain't never come back. What's so sad about it? I know the boy's daddy, that's the pastor, and I went to high school with the boy. I said, man, he letting this type of stuff go on. I didn't even know he was a pastor, more or less preaching. I knew him in high school. You know, I kind of felt some type of way about him back when he was in school. But I said, oh, okay, I see why he letting this nonsense run up and down. I said, man, this guy, that's a man running up and down. I told my wife, no, I ain't ever coming back to this church. I don't care about me knowing him. And it was somebody in the church that knew us and knew my wife and something. And she had mentioned that, oh, yeah, your classmate. Man, I ain't never going back to that church. You got a
come on,
man, skirt ripping around but down church like he got the Holy Spirit. If he got the Holy Spirit that bad, tell him to come out that dress. See, that's what the Holy Spirit, the real Holy
come
Spirit
on,
will deliver you out that mess. You run
yes,
down the church, and you sit around
yes,
and you got a lipstick like you're a woman of God. And man, God don't make them type of mistakes. God don't make
amen.
Them type of mistakes. God knew what you was when you was in your mother's womb, and he knew what he intended to make you to be. Now, your choice, we all have a choice to choose what path you want to walk, what path you want to take. That's your business if that's the path you want to take. I say, boy, look at this nonsense. Try the Spirit
by the Spirit
to know, amen, if it's the Spirit of God.
Come
amen.
On, preacher.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, Yahshuah, come in the flesh, is of God.
God.
Watch what verse 3 says. And every
Hallelujah.
Spirit,
Hallelujah.
And every spirit that confesses not that Yahshua Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, Yahweh. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Let me share this with you. Amen. How much time I got, bro? I got a little tired. Let me share this
go
with
ahead,
you.
Go ahead. Work with
the devil quotes scriptures too. See, you got the devil in the pulpit, in the congregation, going to church. They quote scriptures. I've seen people quote scriptures. No, they ain't got no more God in them than a brick sitting up in my yard. than a rock sitting in my yard. They ain't got no more
yeah.
God in them than a rock sitting in my yard. Just because they quoting scriptures. Man, the devil can quote scriptures. The devil can't.
Yes,
man, the Bible
can.
He was crowned. Amen, doctor. The
yes,
Bible said
he
was crowned upon high wisdom, high knowledge of God's word.
Come on, preacher. He ain't no dummy.
Amen. But we got folks that have gotten cute. See, over the years, amen, I remember a long time ago, since throughout the year, I used to always teach about love. And teach about love and salvation and love. Now I begin to hear people use that. Oh, well, yeah, now we love one another. I said, man, get out of here. If you don't love God with all your might and love your neighbor like you love yourself and deliver yourself from walking in sin, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not perfect by far, but I'm not out here cutting up. Hey, man, can't nobody sit there and say, oh, he down here, he over there, he over here. No. See, some folks are out just running rampant. And you mean to tell me God can't deliver you from some of that stuff?
Come
you
on.
You are liking men and liking, and God ain't delivered you from some of that stuff? Oh, come on, brother. You out here running. See, a reprobate mind, when a man or a woman say, you know what, this is just what I'm going to do. This is just what I'm going to be. See, when you have that mentality that Pharaoh had, Pharaoh, he kept on, you know, I feel like at some point, he had the intent. He wanted to change. He wanted to do what's right. He wanted to let the children of Israel go. But he couldn't. He just had to hold fast to his God. Because why? Sometimes when you feel like the God of this world or even yourself has given you what you got, you feel like you don't need God. See, he was
uh-huh.
a ruler. He was born and raised to be the ruler of Egypt. So he was wealthy all the time. He never probably wanted for nothing. Had whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. So there was no need for him to trust God. Amen. He had no need to choose Moses' God. He said, who is your God that I should let his people go? Amen.
Come on,
see,
preacher.
See, so when you have that reprobate mind, you have a spirit of corruption.
Come on, preacher.
I'm going to say that again. You have a spirit of corruption.
Corruption.
You don't have
abomination.
Hey, yeah. Amen, brother. Abomination. Go ahead and say abomination. You reject. Amen. A person that reject God's salvation. You're beyond hope. That's what a reprobate is. Pharaoh was beyond hope. He had spiritual corruption. He had worshiped all these false deities and false gods. These demonic gods?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
yes.
What's false, he rejected the God of heaven. See,
yeah.
When God comes to you 10 times, see, there's people in a lifetime that God will come to. I'm talking about strongly come to. And it's funny because I think me and the brother were talking yesterday. And I said on the earth. Man, when God came to me, because I was raised in the church. See, I knew right from wrong. My dad had taught me. My dad was a pastor. My mother played the piano. I knew right from wrong. She played the organ or whatever. I knew right from wrong. Man, brother, God touched me one good time. That, amen. Brother, one good time God touched me. I said, oh, going, I know what this means. See, warning comes before destruction. See, I don't need to be warned 10. I don't need 9 other warnings to make me get right. I don't need that.
Come on now.
One good time. Amen. See, there's some folks that they'll be in a car wreck that the doctors and the firemen and the police officers say, man, how in the world did he survive that car wreck? I had a brother that happened to. People said, how in the world? I had an uncle. Watch this, brother. I had an uncle that was hit by a train. You may think I'm lying, but I'm not. Now, he wasn't physically hit by the train. I'm talking about he was in a truck that was hit by a train, and he lived. He had the pictures of when I was a kid, showed it to him. And we all were like, how in the world this man survived that?
Who?
Hit by a train.
Lord.
He had the pictures of it. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved before he left this world, but I'll tell you, he wasn't one for church. I'll tell you that now, because my grandmother and him were brothers and sisters, and she always went to church, but he'd never go to church. All I can hope and say and pray that he got it right before he left this world, but you got people like that. So many things have happened to them. They'll be touched so many times. They'll escape death, and you know what? Man, they fine. They think it was something that they didn't do. Oh, I still don't believe in that stuff. I got family members right now. Oh, they done been through stuff. And to me, brother, it's like they done been through hell and hot water. But guess what?
What?
And but they don't want to change. And I'm
don't
still praying
change.
Don't want to change.
For them.
I'm going to read this one last verse. I'm going to give it over to you, brother. Amen.
Go
I'm
ahead,
talking about how you must live before the trumpets blow. Watch what verse 7 say. 1 John 4, chapter verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. Man, ain't that a word? Let
Amen.
Us love. That
Amen.
Sounds so peaceful, so soft, so gentle. See, when you love somebody, you're soft to them. You're gentle to them. You're not ugly to them. It's okay to laugh and joke, but you got to be respectful of people. You respect their space. You respect them privately. You respect them personally. You admire them. Amen. You reverence them. You're kind to them. This is the spirit of God.
Amen.
See, people act like God is just, no, that's Satan that's evil and rough and ugly. That's the devil. God is love. Let us
Amen.
Love one another.
Amen.
For love is of Yahweh.
Yes.
And everyone that loveth is born of God. Let me say that again. And everyone that loves, see, is
Come on.
Born of Yahweh. And
yes.
knoweth, Amen, God of heaven, Yahweh. Amen. In other words,
yes.
you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't show no love, I don't care what nobody say. I don't care
Praise
what they
God.
Confess, what they tell you. They ain't going to heaven. They ain't went to heaven. You don't care who they were in your past life. If they was cruel, mean, and ugly all the time, don't get me wrong. I know we all have our days. There's some days where we all may be grumpy. But man, you ain't gonna sit and tell me every single day, all the time you ugly and mean, man. Please, I don't care how often you go to church. There is no
Lord
in God in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. Go ahead.
All right. All right. God bless you, man. Dynamite. Dynamite. We blowing, and we gonna identify this creature, that has been in existence for 6,000 years. This creature that became a creature at first. We're gonna let you know that he was a Lucifer. He was a fallen angel. I'm gonna talk a little low to you on this year because I want to try to cover at least 10 minutes of it. This destroyer, this year thing, person, fallen anointed archangel, cherubim, fallen one, the Daystar, he's a bright light, and he refuted to overthrow God's throne. But we got to go over this again, because what he's doing today is his attributes after he had failed. And since he's failed, the only thing he can do, the only thing he will do, he can't do nothing else. The devil can't do nothing. Things, and that is, number one, kill. Number two, destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, and he'll rob you. He'll rob you. What will he rob you of?
Right.
He'll rob you physically, and he'll rob you spiritually. He'll rob you, basically, try to rob you from the Word of God. He'll take the Word of God out of your life. He'll try to.
Right.
I mean, if you're a born-again believer, amen, he'll try to take the Word of God. But if you're not a born-again believer, you don't know the Scriptures, so he really can't take them. But he'll keep you from the Scriptures. He'll keep you from the Bible. If the devil can keep you from reading the Bible, keep you from the cross, I'm going to tell you right now, he got you. He got
That's
you
right.
100%. And some things that the devil will do. Number one, he kills babies. He abort babies. That's the devil. That's
sure
the devil. Does. Abortion is of the devil.
That's right.
Homosexuality is of the devil.
Come on, doctor.
Lesbianism is of the devil. Come on now. Incest in the family is of the devil.
Come on,
the devil of lust. All that you see, professional pornographic movies and pornographic magazines.
Come on,
the devil prints that. The devil prints that mess. He makes that mess. Alcoholism is of Satan. If Satan can get you to become an alcoholic, he can destroy you.
That's
it
right.
takes away. It kills your brain cells. If you smoke a cigarette.
That's right.
He destroys your brain, destroys your lungs. And I see on TV, they advertise the smoke. About 15, 20 years. Get a camel. Then they turn around and say, don't smoke. And yet still people know exactly what cigarettes would do, and they'll keep
That's
on
right.
smoking. They
That's
lose
right.
their throat, they lose their lungs, and then they'll set up with a tube in their mouth telling you not to smoke, and yet still people will continue to smoke. Why?
That's
Satan
right.
says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your body physically, and then I'm going to destroy your body. I'm going to keep your soul from Christ by what? Rejecting him. Rejecting his words. All the wars that came on this planet is of Satan other than what God did for Israel and fought for Israel. God don't make wars. Satan is the cause of all the wars that was on the face of the planet ever since the 14th chapter of Genesis. You'll find the first war. So all the wars that you see today is of Satan. God don't have to, my God, God don't have to get tanks and planes and to get rid of people. Man, he can speak his word and they'll fall down and die.
That's right.
So Satan physical warfare to kill you and get rid of you before you ever come to know Jesus Christ. And the devil lies a lot. He lies. He tells stories. He's a father of lies. So when you see somebody lying, the devil is their father. They're lying. The devil is called in the Bible many words. He's called the wicked one. He's wicked. You see people cussing and lying and cheating and whoremongering, set up in church with your dress all the way up to your ankle, all the way up to your thigh, crossing your legs. The devil said, look, I'm going to get this guy to do something for me. I'm going to show my body and tempt him.
And
the devil is the greatest tempter of all time because God does not tempt no man.
That's right.
No man is tempted by God. The devil is the greatest tempter, and people, when you tempt, when the devil tempts you, temptation is not a sin, but when you yield to temptation perform temptation, then it becomes sin. And if you yield to temptation one time and you like it, you'll go another time until the devil get his clutches on you. That's how the devil works. The devil has his own doctrine, Bible doctrine. He takes the Bible doctrine and twists it and make it look like it comes from the Bible, but it doesn't come from the Bible. And one of the highest doctrines that the devil has been trying to twist for the last 2,000 years is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of preachers today preach that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty, that Jesus Christ did not come. That is the spirit of Antichrist, which the brother has just talked about. And the Bible says there are many Antichrists today that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the devil said, if I can get you to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you don't believe in the resurrection, and you don't believe in his suffering, and you don't believe in his love, you don't believe in his ministry, if I can keep you away from that and get you to disbelieve that, you are an antichrist because you're anti-God. You're the only holy restitution that man can be saved, and that the devil can keep you away from the cross. If he can keep you from repenting of your sins and turning from your wicked ways, and you die without Christ in your life, I don't told you, I don't know how many times, my friends, my brothers out there, I love y'all. I love you, those who listen, and I'm straining my blood vessels to get the point across to you. Amen. What you don't want to do is you don't want to be no friend of the devil, and people are making friends with the devil. There are some devil organizations that you got to deal with. You got to deal with the Illuminatis. You got to deal with the Luciferians. You got to deal with the fallen angels that cohabitate with the human race. They're here. They're on this earth right now. You got to do with satyrs, and you got to deal with crossbreeding animals with the human race. You got all those demonic genetic crossbreeding, and that's why the Bible said, let a man have his own wife, his own wife. It didn't say let a man have his own man. It didn't say it. God don't teach children, amen, to become homosexual. That's the devil. That's the D-I-B. God said marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. But the whoremongers and the adulterers, God's going to judge. The devil is trying to twist God's word into abominable. And if anybody partake in it, let me tell you, God will let you go for so long. Amen. He'll let you, amen, have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. But if you continue on in that sin of incest, in that sin of lesbianism, and in that sin of homosexuality, he said in Romans 1:17, he said, I'll give you up to a reprobate mind. In other words, God said, I'll give up on you. I ain't going to do nothing with it. Y'all go ahead. Amen. But you don't have the opportunity to turn from your wicked ways. But let me tell you, this generation is so deep. They hit it deep. People are going crazy. They done took the rainbow. Oh, come on, y'all. Talk to me. Talk to me, loved ones. Talk to me. They done took the rainbow, the holy ark that covers the throne of God, blasphemed the rainbow and brought it down to earth. And God put the rainbow in the cloud to tell the world, to tell the generation after generation. And since this is the last generation, this is the last generation, God is warning man to turn from his evil ways. That I took the rainbow and put it down in the LBQJ.
Amen.
This represent that gayism is all right. This represent lesbianism all right. What do those people do? What do those people do out there? What does the lesbian do to each other? Good God Almighty, a nasty situation, a nasty situation. Oh, they look clean on the outside when they come out there and tell them they gay. But
come
what they
on,
do God. Behind, what they do underneath the bed, what they do on the rooftop, what they do, it's so nasty that maggots won't even touch it. It's so nasty because it's against God Almighty and His holiness. He said, I'm going to what? I'm going to bring judgment just like I did with Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to bring judgment upon these old men in the government, these old men in the Luciferians, these old men in the Illuminati, these old men in the Masonry and all these secret societies, all these men that's in high order and in the government are using these young girls between the age of 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and on up. They're using them for prostitution and raping them and doing all kind of abomination with them. And
come
then they go from
God.
Country to country. Oh, my God.
On,
look what God got to look at. Look what he got to look at. And then you got it creeping into the church behind the pulpit. Come on, look at. We got going with each other. We got folks in there snipping and nipping on drugs addicts. We got people doing all kind of wicked things and all kind of sex organs, all kinds of things like wife swapping and open sex. Good God Almighty. God is sick of it. God is sick of it. And it's turning
right.
My stomach. You want to know why I'm acting like this? You want to know why I'm detestable against all this old foolishness that they put on TV and tell it it's all right? It's a lie, and the truth is them. That's what the devil's doing. The devil has his ministers. He has his line preachers. The devil can do miracles. The devil has his sacrifices, as if the day they do it in the there's a group called the Secret Society that they go to a place called what's the name of that place? Ooh, in California, a 27-acre farm. They call it Bohemian Grove. And what they do in Bohemian Grove, we have had presidents. Ooh, big and senators and all kind of men of lots of money. They go to these things and they have set cars. They tell me some of the senators are dressed up in and act like they tell me they offer baby sacrifice and give it to Moloch. This is what they're doing. And then they bring it out into the government and say that we are going to do this, but yet still they're a bunch of whoremongers. Come on, preacher. Tell the truth. If you know if it's in the church, the world has already started it, and the church is picking it up. Preachers are justifying. And I'll call out a name. I'll call out a name that's trying to justify homosexuality, and that's T.D. Jakes. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with it. We got Oprah Winfrey. There ain't nothing wrong with it. We got all these high-class, dignified scholars of the, supposed to be scholars of the Bible, the Word of God, trying to twist God's Word, and they're going to bring swift destruction upon themselves because God is not dealing with it. He died, good God Almighty. He died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Oh, for all the sins of the world, the molestation of young men, molestation of young women. We got all kinds of fornication in the house of God. We got them all. And folks are trying to figure out how can we make it better. But what you need to do, America, the rest of the world, is fall wherever you are on your knees and repent to the God of heaven and try to do great, the great I am, the Yahweh, you're trying to degrade. The holiness
right.
of God.
That's right.
God's going to bring the rainbow down on them. When you bring the rain down, boy, ain't nobody going to be able to deliver from the man. What the devil doing? The devil is what? He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's the enemy of your soul. He's a roaring lion. He imitates God. He try to be mm-hmm. like God, talk like God, look like God. He don't have the power of God, and the only power he got is to destroy, and he destroying people's soul and driving them on a freight train right straight to hell, and they waving their hands. The world is waving their hands on a straight road to hell. Why?
That's right.
Because they refuse to accept that sacrifice. He got a false trinity. I know trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, but Godhead is. Godhead needs mm-hmm. one head, one Father, one Son, one Holy Ghost. All three are one, manifested in different avenues. God the Father, the Spirit, Christ the Son, flesh, God in the flesh, and the Holy Ghost, which is God Almighty. He suffered and died, and he sent the Holy Ghost back to earth. The Holy Ghost is in the earth now. And guess what it's doing? It's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's
and it
right.
is no back seat. It's in the front seat. And if anybody wants to ride this bus, you better put on your seatbelt, because when the gospel is preached, you're going to want to get up and get off the bus. Woo! And folks are getting off the bus today. They're coming out of the church. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to law. They're going to sex parties. They're going to sex parties. They're doing whatever they want to do. They are showing it on the TV. Like all these talk shows that these women mm-hmm. stretch their legs out, have their dress all the way up to their thighs, crossing their legs, got their boots all open. People looking at that stuff, and they think they, what? That's the devil. That's
right.
what he's doing. He's deceiving men, church folks joining the world. Church folks trying to sing gospel and rock and roll and R&B at the same time. Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve the devil? Serve him. If you're going to serve Jesus, serve him. Don't give the devil no room. Guess what? He has his synagogues. Amen. He is called in the Bible a slanderer. He's called the prince power of the air. He's called the god of this age. He called the king of death. Death is all over the land today. And every time you see somebody dying, somebody falling off down the stairs, when you see somebody get shot, death is saying, I'm going to kill everybody I can. Who's the king of death? The devil is the king of death. Jesus Christ is not the king of death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, brought it up mm-hmm. from the grave, and said, I've got the king and power in my hand. He's the prince power of this world. He don't own the world, but he's in charge of the world, and God is letting him go ahead and make a fool out of himself, because that's the only way he can go. He's a ruler of darkness, because men love darkness rather than light. He's a Leviathan.
Right.
He's an old dragon. He tries to hinder God's work. He resists the prayers of God. That's why the Bible said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray with a fervent prayer. Pray in the morning. Pray at night. Pray all day long. What you talking about? Keep them prayer lines open. Woo! He steals the word of God from your human hearts. He's a thief when it comes to the word of God. He binds men to the truth. He blinds men from the truth. He accuses Christians every day. Every day you get up, the devil ready to accuse you. He's ready to accuse
That's
you
right.
because you're telling the truth. He's ready to accuse you because you are saved and sanctified. He's ready to accuse you on anything you do, because let me tell you, I'd rather be persecuted for doing right than I am for doing wrong. Because when you do wrong, you bring it on yourself. But when you do right for God, God glorifies. He shouts up and down the corridors of heaven and says, look at that saint down there. Look at that brother down there. Look at that sister down there. She stands for mm-hmm. me. She represents my power and my glory. He said he laid snares for men. He has an army. And I'm going to close with this. He has an army. And this army that I'm talking about, and I'm going to give it to the brother, this army that's getting ready to come from Russia, Gog and Magog, that's Gog and Magog, that's Satan's army. Putin is the leader of his army. And Putin is getting ready to do what? He's getting ready to do something he's going to wish he never would have even thought about doing. What he getting ready to do? Oh, yes, he took Ukraine. He need Ukraine. He need to come down to what? The north from Moscow. He need to bring army down there. He need to gather five other nations and come between the Cascade Mountains. And when he come between the Cascade Mountains, he looking down to Syria. When he get to Syria, he looking to Jordan. When he get down by Jordan, he looking at Jerusalem. Why? Because his main mission is to get to Jerusalem, to conquer Jerusalem, and try to rule the world. And that's what's getting ready to happen in the next 6 months. You watch what I tell you. And I get my watchman from the word of God. God. So don't be a fool and think it ain't going to happen. Don't be a knothead. Don't be some ignorant person that don't want to listen to what God has to say. He says Russia is going to be destroyed. 83% of our army is going to be destroyed by God Almighty. And I'm closing. And I want the brother, after I get through, offer the altar call. He said, when I come down, I'm going to bring a horde of horses and spears, and I'm going to be standing on the mountain of Israel. And then God, when he see them coming to Jerusalem, he's going to stomp his feet, clap his hand, and bat his eye. And when he do that, he said, I'm going to destroy 86 of the army of Israel. And guess what? This won't be done. Oh, good God Almighty, this won't be done until after the rapture of the church. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying, get ready, because the trumpet's going to blow, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. And the church is going to be taken off of this face of the earth so fast that it's not going to affect the speed of the earth.
Come on.
He's going to snap the church from this earth, and the earth's going to continue on for another 7 years called the tribulation period. And that's when the Antichrist will come. Church, get ready now. Y'all don't hear the word of God. Ain't no excuses for you walking around with your neck turned around, going looking the backwards the way. You better get your neck straightened or you got to get your backbone. And I'm telling you, this is what the devil getting ready to do. Don't believe nothing he said. Brother, go ahead and offer that altar call. Somebody want to get saved.
Amen. Romans 10:9-10. Amen. I'm going to read it real quick to you. Amen. We're going to be done. We'll be back on the air. Be Yahweh's will. Wednesday night, that'll be, I believe, my time. That's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. East Coast time. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 19. The scripture reads, it says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Amen. The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There you have it. Salvation is yours forevermore. Amen. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, and you will be caught up. Amen. Like the brother said, to meet Christ in the air in a moment. Of a twinkling of an eye, as Paul
said. Hallelujah.
Amen. We are going to meet the Lord. Amen. Soon and very soon.
Very soon.
We are going to see the King. Amen. The King is coming. You better believe he's coming. Amen. He's coming with might and glory. But right now, he's not going to come and put his enemies on his feet. But right now, he's coming back to get his church. We love you all. We want you to become part of this great thing that's about to take place on this planet. Do not miss it. This is one of the greatest moments in time in history.
Woo!
To be alive.
Hallelujah.
To be called to meet Christ. We're going to receive a reward just for loving his appearance. Family, remember, you are royalty. We are royalty. We love you so much. We love you dearly. Definitely come back and be with us on Wednesday night to hear more of his word. Amen, doctor. Amen. All glory to the Most High God. Amen. The King
is coming.
Coming. Amen. Amen. Brother, that's all I got. Amen. I love you, brother. I enjoyed this message today. Amen. We just pray that someone is receiving salvation, that their soul may get saved. Amen.